Colonel Bostick is biting at his chomps. I would allow him.
Yes, caller. I want to say to you that we are really looking ahead. And I don't want you to go away with the impression that that one single hotel is or could have been the be-all and end-all for the city of Bridgetown and surrounding areas. We are looking not at one hotel, but a number of hotels. Hotels that would be aesthetically appealing to the area, that would still allow for the open windows to the sea, and that would still maintain the character of Carlisle Bay that we've become accustomed to. And so it is not a question of just one hotel and all of the associated shops and so on, sir.
I don't want, following by Solutions Barbados, I don't want to stray too much off the top of that policy towards generally land and the vision for the development. I am more towards preventative, and Solutions Barbados is more towards preventative maintenance than reactive maintenance. Many of the structures in Barbados, yes, they're ancient, we want to keep that character, but we are seeing a boom in building technologies. Architects right now can use what's called splice architecture to keep the character of a building. And they go in and they use to keep the facade, the existing building, which has been there for 100 years, but they gut the inside and the build. They put steel frames and glass and they do magnificent things. They build 7-story buildings inside of the existing structure of colonial and older structures. It's called splice architecture. And I believe that for each case, we can't really just have a general macro policy. We have to have, on this one, it has to be on an individual case-by-case basis, with consultation from the stakeholders should on the development of it, and private sector developers who may make proposals to develop some of those structures. Should we keep the existing building altogether? And if it is that we should maintain it, then what is the purpose for it? Because we want to see highest and best use in the city. And what we are fighting, as an earlier call alluded to, is what I said is called cognitive bias. We do things the way we've done it, the same way we've done it, just because we've done it like that in the past. But we have new technologies. We have building technologies where we can build structures faster, cheaper, and with more resilient technologies. So it may mean assessing an existing structure and deciding that we should just do away with it, or we should develop using that with that existing structure, but we should develop with higher and best use. So we have to, I believe we're going to have to, and I'm going to speak individually as someone who's dedicated over 10, 12 plus years of my life to the built environment, helped to manage over 200 buildings for a municipality. And I'm going to say that it will have to be by a case-by-case basis, because some buildings, as a professional, I think some of the buildings are just to be demolished and it'll be easier for a fresh start with some of the structures. We failed to embrace open plan, but open plan architecture and open plan development of new structures using steel frame technologies could allow twice as much government departments to be housed in the same structure. But because we've decided everyone must have an office, we've said there's cognitive bias that every government official wants an individual office. But I've seen government departments, 3 different government departments in my career, where persons, you have government managers, they sit in open plan offices, and they're able to put twice as much people on a floor. But there you're talking about that building has a cost. That building has a cost to the taxpayers of Barbados. And we're building new buildings and leaving existing buildings to rot. When we build these new buildings, we build in the same way that we've had the new buildings. In 20 years, we're going to need to build a new building again. So we need to be careful how we build, and we need to assess each individual structure as a case-by-case basis. Do we keep, do we demolish, do we splice?
Interesting. Paul?
Oh, okay. The concept of utilizing these abandoned government buildings and stuff like that. Now, I don't know if you remember the old Mitchell Hill building there in Bay Street, which years ago used to house doctors and nursing students and stuff like that. There. Things like that, we're going to look at strongly, one, rehabilitating that building to see if we can get that use back into position. In the sense of the university, the medical university, we have almost 4 medical universities here in Barbados now. This can be put to use in that sense. We have a lot of nursing situations in Barbados where we need a lot more nursing training. We have the SBA at the BCC. This building can be used for such. So one of our policies will be to look at the use, what the possible uses of these buildings, and how we can, one, generate foreign exchange and general income revenue from such buildings being used. The NAS building is one such building. We really need to look at not only cleaning and fixing the building, but redirecting its use as opposed to just being a historic town.
Okay, I want to take us back a little bit to just about 75 years ago when let's go back to the 60s when we moved away from the plantation-based economy and we're moving into more tourism. And then there was this massive development across the landscape. We had a lot of buildings going up. Then 20 years later, we had a lot of construction, and Barbados started to see a real, you know, we became the hub of international business as well as trade, and our tourism was booming. Then construction continued to, you know, it continued to grow, and we were seeing some growth in the economy, etc. Then we go down to the 2000s, the early 2000s, when the construction boom continued, and government as a government policy had to make sure it found a space for the demand. The demand was pretty high. Construction started to increase incrementally, and then we had the crisis in 2007, and then over the last 3 years after 2007 up until 2010, the boom was non-existent. My question really to the panelists would be more in lines of our historical relationship with land and land use as a country, and then us as a people in our minds owning a piece of the rock. Everybody wants to own a piece of the rock. We are not as familial as some of our Caribbean neighbors, as we've been told. And many times there's a family of four, and there are three children, and three of them leave home and they go out to each of them is paying rent and can't afford these high prices for land ownership, which is through either mortgage or to pay, as some people say, pay on your own. There's not a policy per se on the part of a government to rein that in, but how can we encourage our young people not to outlay that type of finance from that very early stage? I know family relations, you may feel as though, oh, you want to move out, you want to run things on your own, but we are really putting ourselves into a deeper economic hole, because we have a household of five, and then three persons leave, and then they have to then fund three households. How can we encourage, at a time as well when it is very different from the U.S. where persons leave home around 20, and they themselves have to go and look for somewhere. So we are kind of fashioning our scenario out of U.S., but we are not leaving Barbados. We are staying in Barbados in a very densely populated space already. What is the thought process there? I know the first caller kind of addressed that and asked the question in relation to the family home, but what are your thoughts on that scenario, given it's been inculcated in our heads that we must have a piece of the rock? If not, we are not, you know, you're not saying anything, technically speaking.
Again, what I bring to you is proposals from the United Progressive Party. And all these are relevant or not. After our census is done, we know exactly how we can move forward and stuff like that. I talk about high-rise buildings and high-rise accommodation. This has been used across Asia. Singapore and Hong Kong has been models of high-rise housing for urbanization. You got Europe right now, more so London and Manchester, is now using this as their most operandi to deal with clusters and stuff like that. Now, within the same household, you would understand that eventually that household is going to become crowded because these individuals will get children, so they have to move on. So we are proposing the concept of high-rise buildings. Not everybody, we don't want persons to go and get loans, because a loan is really a loose and oily neck, to get loans to come to own these buildings. So what we are suggesting, what we're going to suggest is a rent-to-own system, where a system is put in place that an individual can rent a property and later on owns it. Whatever agreement is taken into consideration, you got a lease-to-buy system that can be put into place. So these are things that we have to develop to a certain extent where we can actually encourage youngsters to develop their own property own their own properties through basic investment. In terms of you rent, you know, you rent for a period of time, and then after that period of time, based on contractual agreement, you may be able to purchase that property or just own that property. The same concept as leasing, only it will be done on an annual basis. And things that they say, one, encourages these young people who have a steady income. It also eliminates the issue that you find with squatting, because a lot of persons goes to squat simply because they can't afford to pay the high rents. And after paying the high rent for 10 years, it is not your property. And, and so you're still left at square one. And so this gives the, those youngsters one hope. It provides to the facility that encourages persons to be more responsible in terms of their finances. And it eliminates the need to go to a bank for persons who have low incomes or unstable jobs to actually acquire a loan and then can't pay it back. The properties are then long gone.
Okay. Colonel Boston.
Yes, I think the whole philosophy of owning a piece of the rock is something that is dear to the average Barbadian, and that is not going to go away, Lisa.
Even although it traces back to slavery, when a piece of the rock was very relevant coming off of the plantation, we are in a different type of space. We have much less land available.
We have much less land available, but there, as I said in my opening remarks, mm-hmm. that there are several housing solutions and vacant lots, unoccupied properties in Barbados. Mm-hmm. I said to you that there were about 35,000.
You can have the conversation.
In the along the urban corridor, there are another 20,000 vacant lots and 15,000 unoccupied lots that the Barbados Labour Party will work with the property owners to transform Barbados in this regard. There's still a number of vacant lots. So until we maximize the use of all of these lots, I don't think that at this point in time there is a great worry with people wanting to own a piece of the rock.
I don't think that there's an issue with people wanting to own a piece of the rock. As we said earlier, the land space in Barbados is being used up. We need to start thinking differently. I think going up in the air, one provides the adequate space that we will need to house one, the Barbadian populace that's growing on a regular basis, and two, it eliminates a lot of usage of land, thus creating more space for gardening. So far, building in Barbados, house spots supposed to accommodate, a house on the land supposed to accommodate 40% of the land. Today, we have homes that are taking up most of the land, and a person that expanded just to accommodate their child or their daughter who has just been married, who can't afford to go up there, so they build on a little piece of their back of the house. It takes up a lot of land. High-rise apartments eliminate that one. Yes, you're talking about using a lot of the abandoned lots and abandoned homes across the country and stuff like that, which is fine and dandy. But it comes to a point where that is going to run out. Where are you going to look from there? So what we're seeing at this stage is that we are looking 10, 20, 50 years down the road, so that at the end of the day, when that household that has two family members now grows to 12 family members, there's a facility that can accommodate this family member that needs to step out. In terms of just acquiring and working with owners, who will become the landlord? Who becomes the landlord of these properties you acquired? Who becomes the landlord of who dictates what type of home is built on that property? How many persons can live on that property? And then you still have to the regulations in terms of building areas and stuff like that. So I think high rise, and it's something we're going to look at seriously in terms of accommodating Barbadians in the near future, because yes, it's good to want to own piece of the rock, and I agree with that. But what I'm saying is also is that I think Barbadians are more concerned right now with housing for their children and their grandchildren.
We at Solutions Barbados, the term I've seen that we are embracing is mid-rise, up to 7 stories. We are not eliminating high-rise, but the term that we are embracing is mid-rise. And I want the public to identify what Solutions Barbados is saying. Mid-rise, up to 7 stories, because there are things that are involved with going above 7 stories. Up to 7 stories, you can get out of a building, and there's an easy escape. Above 7 stories, there's more complicated engineering involved. So we are committed to a covenant in Bridgetown up to 7 stories, and anything above that, the developer would have to submit certain proposals.
Sir, I understand what you're saying. I tend to believe that your leader is one of the best engineers in the country, and I tend to believe that Barbados have a good skill set in this country where we can focus. Now, everybody really seriously thinking about Barbados becoming a first world country. Everybody really thinking about Barbados becoming an international country. We got to start looking differently. We cannot be myopic in our thought process. We cannot continue to say, you know what, we can't do this because of that. We have to look at technology.
But you had your piece. You had your run. So we're going to divide some time here. I've developed the last decade to the built environment, over the decade. And what we need, it's okay to say as persons who've worked in public sector and private sector and the public have their perceptions, but how do we get it done? We need a pragmatic approach to create a market for the private sector to inject money. A rising tide is going to rise all the boats, but how do we create that market? We need incentives where a developer can apply for a project, and in seven weeks, he can get a green light that you can start and there'll be no enforcement against you. If you submitted that plan into our priority zones, and we're looking to extend to Oystens and to Spice Town, if you submitted the plan into a priority zone, in 7 weeks, you can start to construct once it's submitted by a registered architect. You can start to submit and the planning authority will not initiate any enforcement or stop orders against you in 7 weeks. That is important to creating. We want to create jobs and we want to create a market, because we can say all the pie in the sky. We want homes, we want affordable homes and nice homes. But how do we create? We need incentives for developers to create the market. We also need a general economic, because without the economy turning, we can want all we want, but we have to be pragmatic. And Solutions Barbados is made up, not dominated by government technocrats and career politicians, but we're dominated by pragmatic persons who have been in the private sector as well. I've been a public sector administrator in five different government departments, three level one bros, but I've also been in the private sector, in the built environment, in the steel industry, in the built environment, and there's a pragmatic approach that's required. And if the government leaders in all the parties don't get it right, they're going to hold back the professionals we have at the NHC and the built environment professionals that we have in Barbados. We have the professionals. We have the resources in the Caribbean, the steel mills, the cement. We have the land. We have the infrastructure. We have the ability to build it. But the government policy is what it, and the politicking is what is holding it back. And that's why one of the most important things is going to be an office of the contractor general, because government is going to make plans, but it's going to be botched up by the politicking.
Lisa, let me...
I'll let you end off and then we go to a caller.
Yes, thank you. Well, personally, I don't have that level of experience as my colleague, but I can tell you that we have 80 years of experience as a political party, and we have been rolling out comprehensive housing and land use solutions in this country. And those policies have been evolving over time to meet present day requirements. So that, yes, we built single story housing solutions, but we also built a London Bowen Towers and a Kensington Lodge. And I'm saying that it does not require, and it cannot be just one single type of solution. It's affordable housing solutions, a comprehensive plan that would meet all of the needs of Barbadians, including the use of land.
That's a good place here. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We are on the People's Parliament. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Today we have Mr. Paul Fort from the United Progressive Party, Mr. Fallon Best from Solutions Barbados, and Colonel Jeffrey Boston from the Barbados Labour Party. I'm Lisa Gale in with you as host, and we will go until 1:30 p.m. today. It's my pleasure to hear our next caller. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Right. Before I go into my point, I heard a gentleman talking about high-rise buildings in the city to stop slums. But I would like the gentleman that said that to know that America got real high-rise buildings, Panama got high-rise buildings, and got real slums. So that don't stop slums.
Just to qualify, he didn't say that, actually. He used the term slums, and we spoke about it as... But he didn't say that was what he had planned to do. I'll let you go on to your comment, though.
No. In the lines of bringing life to Bridgetown, when we kill Bridgetown, then we move the bus stand from the bottom of Broad Street and carry it down Cheapside. That was a big error. And I said it more than once on this calling program. Court should never be where it is now. Court should be there where the bus stand is down on the bell. And extend the bus stand and keep life in Bridgetown. All around there had a lot of people doing a lot of work at night. And the church used to go to church at night. People hardly go to church at St. Mary's now because down there is dismal and dark. And I don't understand what the bill down there. That was a mistake. The next thing, I said, we need a marina at the mouth of the Carinage. That could generate a lot of foreign exchange. And I hear making attempts that they're going to do this marina for years, and never think about it. a marina and a dry dock we need in Barbados. They was talking about that there for donkey years.
Who did you talk to?
I talked on the calling program.
You spot anyone in the respective ministries?
We got in the naval base down there, that space down there, the empty. We could build an international dry dock down there.
Okay.
But, you know, if it was Mr. Muzumbuzi that make that statement on the radio, somebody would pick it up. But most of the things I said on this radio, with the exception of the program now.
Your friend Dennis?
Dennis. He's the only body that tried to help me out with it, but nobody else.
So why he didn't help you get a marina then?
Not help me get a marina, but what I'm saying is that nobody didn't follow through with talking about it on the calling program. It just dropped like that there. And the marina would generate so much interest in Bridgetown and a lot of foreign exchange.
Fully agreed. I saw some plans for a marina one time with the Barbados Tourism Investment Inc. They do have those plans, but as you know where we are economically.
But they're doing things in Barbados that is non-productive. You're building a lot of stupid stadiums and all kind of things, and they ain't generating that, and they're only pulling out.
Okay.
You know, and I don't understand it. Why you could overlook a dry dock?
Well, I let Mr. Best, I let Fallon respond to you.
I agree, sir. As you said, unless certain person says something, you may have gone unnoticed. But this administration botched what could have been an opportunity to create more berths. And many stakeholders from the fisheries have met with government and said, we need more berths. And the Port Authority, who rents the berths in the Carinage, they are the challenge to find spaces. What was done was a bunch of boulders was taken under the Capital Works Project of the BTI, and it was dumped by the River Bus Terminal just outside of Starcon, just outside of the studio. A bunch of boulders were dumped around the mouth. That should have been dredged with steel piles inserted, and that would have created another 300 plus berths with smaller boats that could have slipped under the bridge, and it would have cost the same thing or less. Because you take them boulders and dump them around there, when you get a dredger and you dredge it, and you take the steel piles that were done further up by the waterfront cafe, and you take the piles and you pile them in, and then you create a berth. And the small boats would go in and you create 300 berths. Those berths create also opportunities not just for fishing, but safe harbor when there's a storm. We have a problem with the shortage of safe harbor for boats in Barbados, so they have to rush every hurricane season. They have to rush to haul their boats up. And we had an opportunity to create safe harbor for 300 boats. And there is no, again, the problem again with this administration is the lack of public consultation. Because the professionals, like myself, who've dedicated over 10 years and worked in the built environment, outside of Barbados and in Barbados, would have come and objected. We would have said, why are you dumping boulders along there? Dig it out and put in piles and create the berths. As you suggested, they could have created more berths. That's what a marina does. It creates berths, not just for local boats, but for visitors to Barbados. So even if more of the boats go in there, it creates more space in the outer basin for larger boats, which will be foreign boats that will come. But that opportunity was botched because it was done. It was not what was done, but how it was done. It was done without proper broad consultation. And this administration, and even previous administration, they have not been transparent. And Barbados administration in 2018 going forward, I hope that coming in next elections, Barbados realize they have an option to choose people that are committed to more transparent government and freedom of information. And we are committed to being the most transparent government that Barbados has ever had. We will not undertake those kind of projects without town halls and consultations. We've had a lack of town halls. We just read about it in the papers. We go and we open the papers and say there was a little and only a few of these people were hand-selected to the meeting. Where are the town halls and the public town halls? When I open my papers, I want to see notices for town halls and public consultation with the people of Barbados on these projects.
Consultative government. This is down to brass tacks.
Ms. Gill.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon to you and your guests.
Good afternoon.
Before I make my contribution, let me agree with the gentleman who just spoke. I was saying that in a basin area, to the east of the bridge, John Duncan Bridge, could have been dredged. And why then? And making it a nice berth. The issue with that, however, is that the steel works under the bridge is fairly low. So So the way you would have to go about that is to install a lift bridge there as well. Because, this, like I said, this terrace under the bridge is low. So the only thing you get up on there is a Moses. So in order to make that inner part viable, you would have to put in a lift bridge. But I agree with him 100%. Because I was saying so for the longest time. Anyway, to my housing talk now. Ms. Gill, I want to ask your guests, what are their plans for the houses in the various housing areas that people die out of? People that never live in them come and claim them, put some paint on them, and then charge people $700 and $800 a month to live in those same houses that people on the same block are paying $35 a month for. That is one. The second point is this. Excuse me. I would like to know what is their plan for getting rid of the over 25,000 applicants at National Housing that for years, 20 plus years, that have been looking for a house and can't get none. And unless your blood is washed, unless you are washed in the blood of a particular party, you can't get any houses. And my last thing I want to say, and then I believe...
Are you asking politicians to answer that?
Pardon?
You're asking politicians to answer a question that is so politically colorful? But go on to your next question. Go on to your next question.
Yeah. And the other question is this. I have said that I like the idea of the incoming government, the Barbados Labour Party. They have this thing that... They are going to introduce a Ministry of International Maritime Affairs. I want to know, and I like that, but I want to know if they will introduce also a Ministry of Property Maintenance for government buildings, separate and distinct from National Housing, that will look after...
Where you need to have a ministry for that?
They say that the National Housing is responsible for government property. But that the National House is not effective in maintaining adequately the various government properties. So I am saying that there should be something that is separate and distinct from everywhere where this ministry will look after not only the buildings, but the ambience of the building, the lawns, the roads, what have you in the buildings, so that you can have proper maintenance of the buildings, as opposed to leaving it all up to National Housing, which I was told is responsible for the maintenance of government property.
Okay. We have three questions before us, and we have three gentlemen in the room, so go right ahead.
Yes, caller. I referred on two occasions of the section of the new National Housing Policy of the Barbados Labour Party, which, if you would recall, speaks to utilizing the 35,000 unused housing solutions along the urban corridor, and also the 20,000 vacant lots and then 15,000 unoccupied properties. So I'm saying to you, sir, that we have, in Barbados, we have the assets in terms of land and housing to satisfy that immediate requirement that you've just mentioned. But I also said, more importantly, that we recognize the need for a more transparent policy in terms of the allocation of public housing, and that is certainly something on the cards for the Barbados Labour Party.
The United Progressive Party, as I said earlier, we will look at high-rise housing, which can accommodate many Barbadians, and such like the 25,000 you talked about at the NA and NHC that would have applied for housing. These are things we're looking at doing, but everything takes time, everything takes a position. You can't just rush and say, we can allocate this. First, we have to ascertain a lot of information in terms of tests and stuff like that across the country, where we can, one, adequately place these high-rise buildings and how we can have them done to effectively help persons. Now, you talk about NHC and putting a lot of load on NHC. The thing is, what you're saying, creating a new ministry to facilitate what ministries does in Barbados. We have too much duplication in this country. Too many duplication in this country.
Amen.
And to create a new ministry to do what the NCC is supposed to do.
NHC.
To do he talked about beautifying the place and the landscaping.
Yeah.
So to create a new main street to do what NCC is supposed to do, to do what the Ministry of Public Transport and Works supposed to do what the Ministry of Housing is supposed to do, it doesn't make any sense. What we're going to do is just duplicate. And then taxpayers will complain again about too much money being spent in the public from the public purse to do one thing that's been done. So what we need to do first and foremost is to get these agencies or ministries working to their optimum. And the United Progressive Party policy is that we engage the Barbadian people, we engage the policymakers, we engage the civil servants and civil society to understand what is needed for the country to go far together unit and what can be done to help the country help itself without having to want to duplicate services and to put a bigger burden on the public's purse.
Regarding the Ministry of Maritime Affairs, I would only support such a thing, maybe to reassess that in 10 years if we can double our tourism numbers and we can get another couple hundred boats, 1,000 boats, but we already have a Department of Maritime Affairs. Therefore, the idea of adding other ministries in the middle of a recession, that's another, every ministry now, they want a SUV and more gasoline and a budget. So that at this time, we have a department, and I do not, so in Solutions Barbados, we do not support the idea of opening ministry. We have right now to look at the national economy and efficient and becoming more efficient and maintaining and controlling our spending until this economy is turned around. And we need, and we have committed, I think, again, I said, a rising boat will lift all tides. Will lift all the boats. And that's going to come. We've committed to the tax reform. We've committed to ISO in every different government department. With an ISO policy, it's a very simple policy. It will improve efficiencies, and government officials and administrators will come to like it. I worked in government department, and one of the problems that we've had in Barbados since independence is that we are a municipality. We are basically smaller than a small municipality, but behaving as a god government unto our own selves. 270,000 people. We don't have a national government that comes over and whip us into place. My colleague here mentioned Singapore and Hong Kong.
Yeah.
But those municipalities have national governments that come. That you're sitting down at your phone and your phone rings every 3 months and they say, this is national government, this was an audit. We were calling to see if your phone was answered in 3 to 5 rings target. If that phone wasn't answered, if then that auditor turns up and he asks for random correspondences between the public and see if her emails were responded to in a target of 6 and 12 days and close the query, close in 21 days maximum. If these things aren't done, the national government cuts your budget. People, departmental heads, or the directors are fired. Their people are tripped. They keep the local government informed. We, as a municipality, as a small government, we do not have a national government, a CARICOM government. We are no longer under Britain. We are not a protectorate of Canada. We don't have a national government that comes and tells the municipality, this is the way to behave. These are the standards. You're failing right now. This administration, there's nobody to tell this administration above them. You're failing in the standards. It's up to the electorate at the elections to vote people in or out. And it's now at the time to say, have they performed in the last 10 years? And what is your option? And before 1960s, Barbados had many independent candidates. And we are here to offer an independent and a new solution to Barbados.
Fanon, just for your elucidation, though, the whole question behind the Ministry of Maritime Affairs has to do with our vision of creating a new economic frontier, which will have a heavy emphasis along the maritime corridors of Barbados. And it will transcend the traditional things that a Department of Maritime Affairs would have been looking at. It goes way beyond fishing. It has to do with new tourism projects and prospects. And we believe if you're going to revitalize our economy, that we have to open up new economic frontiers, and that is one of them.
I am a seaman. I learned to swim and walk at the same time by Pebbles Beach. But at the same time, you can't put the horse before the cart. So when you get that industry going, then we create. When you prove itself, you get the ministry.
But until we prove it,
if we can't get, if we don't,
when
we get
together, correct, back on its feet first, get foreign investment coming in, get the creative economy going. The Orange Economy was launched on Saturday to inculcate the usage of talents from Barbadian people to help them go forward. All this goes into housing, this goes into land usage, land ownership, and that's how you do progressive plans, party plans to do it. But introducing new ministries is only going to place a further burden on us at this stage. We are ready for it. The time has not come.
Can't do
and
it.
We can't focus on that, Adam.
We have increased residences, contractors general. We have a city that is buoyant as a priority zone. Modern housing, high-rise housing, leasing, urban and rural transformation corridor. We have a number of suggestions going forward. This is Down to Brass Tacks.